Good morning. It is an honor to gather for worship with you today, to be here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus with you today. I hope that you're in 1 Corinthians, where we are going to get into that text more in just a moment. There are seven categories of what we call grace gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. We started talking about these a few weeks ago, and we said that throughout this year, we're going to come back and revisit each of these categories and go through them in more detail. And so we are told in Romans 12 that each one of these gifts has a different way to exercise this gift. Now, if you look at that, we've already looked at prophetic or word ministry a few weeks ago. If you look at it in Romans chapter 12, you're going to see that it says, if your gift is a gift of service, then you are supposed to offer it in serving. And that's simple enough. You say, that's obvious. So there's your sermon today. If your gift is a gift of service, exercise it in serving. All right, we can go home now, right? Well, y'all know that since we're here, we might as well get deeper into this topic today. You may have heard some lessons about service recently. I know that a few weeks ago when we were looking at Philippians chapter 2 and the fact that Jesus humbled himself by taking on the form of a bond servant. And we talked about how central that is to our understanding of Christ and of his mission for us. I know that a few weeks ago when Scott filled in and preached here, and I listened to his sermon later and preached on the heart of a servant. Give me the heart of a servant. Of course, the model of a heart of a servant is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we're seeing through this study, each of these different gifts, ultimately Jesus embodies them in a way that it stands there as a model for us to look at of what it means to really exercise this gift. Service is no different. You see our Lord Jesus Christ in a room with 12 people, and he's willing to get down his hands and knees and wash filthy feet. The job of a slave, and yet he does it. He's not afraid to do it, and he does it as an example for us. Now, that certainly does not limit the category of service to just what you do with dirty feet. He says, go and do likewise. Let's talk about it today. Our text here in 1 Corinthians here is another passage about the variety of gifts. In fact, that is the theme of this passage that was read for us today by Stan. It says there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Again, the problem in Corinth is that people are comparing gifts to one another and saying, well, I'm superior to you because my gift is superior to yours. And Paul is having to come in and say, no, this is the same Spirit who is involved in these gifts. This is the same God who's giving you these gifts. These are different gifts. They differ according to what God has granted by his grace, and yet they are all for the purpose of the common good. Now again, you see grace emphasized in this passage. We see it emphasized in Romans. We see it emphasized in 1 Peter. The idea that pretty much every passage that relates to the gifts that God has given us to use, it emphasizes that this is by grace. These are not talents that you have earned. That yes, we develop those gifts. Yes, we take them and we cultivate them and we exercise them, but they are not something that you have achieved. They are something that God has blessed you with by his power so that you can then use them for the common good of the church and ultimately to his glory. Something that you see in 1 Corinthians 12 here is verse 5. I want you to zoom in on here where it uses the word here in the New American Standard and maybe some of the other translation. Use the word ministries here. Maybe your translation has the word administrations here, that there's a variety of ministries or administrations. This word is actually the word diakonos, where the word deacon comes from, which we'll look at in future lessons. But what it is, it's a term for service. It's the same word that is used for being a servant in many of these other passages that we're speaking of. And so this translation, you could translate this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 as there are a variety of services or a variety of ways to serve. And so even though we're talking about service as one category of gifts that we have in Romans chapter 12, service itself is a broad category. it encompasses a lot of different activities, a lot of different manifestations of that gift. In fact, I would say that this is one of those seven categories in Romans 12 that we are called upon, every one of us, to engage in. Romans 12 opens up with verse 1, which says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is the idea of service in the form of a bodily offering, in the sense of exercising what God has blessed you with, loving Him with all of your strength, as well as with your mind and heart and soul, offering your strength in service to others, and ultimately you'll be offering it to God in the process. That is the concept of service. Now, what all does that entail? Well, 1 Corinthians 12 says there's a variety of ways. This covers a lot of stuff. Too often we limit our concept of what we're talking about to what we often call the worship service. Now, those ideas of worship and the idea of service are both in the Scriptures. They're both very important. Sometimes they're tied together. Sometimes they are differing contexts there. Romans 12 is one of those texts that actually ties these ideas together. If you go back and look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, it ties these ideas together as far as your sacrifice of the body being part of your worship to God. And yet we talk of this as a worship service. So the variety of ways to serve would be to lead singing, to lead prayer, to pass around communion trays, maybe to prepare communion, maybe to turn on the sound system, maybe to get here, turn on the heat, unlock the doors, those types of things. Yes, yes, yes. But so much more than that is what we're talking about in these variety of ministries, of administrations, of service, whatever word that your translation uses there. This is not confined to the time between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. on a Sunday. And it's certainly not confined to what goes on just within these walls. Those are important responsibilities that I've mentioned. I'm not downing those at all. I'm not trying to say that those are inferior to other things. That's the whole point of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is that since we have these variety of gifts, you cannot say that one is superior to another. The problem in Corinth is people want the gifts that are visible. They want the things that are going to be like in their time, speaking in tongues. They want to be able to do that where they're able to do something vocal and visible. Jesus warns us, and the Bible really warns us repeatedly, Jesus warns us in the Sermon on the Mount about gifts that are visible and doing it for the reason of being visible. He says that when he's talking about giving, he's talking about praying, he's talking about fasting. He says specifically, don't do this to be seen of men. If you do it to be seen of men, you're going to have your reward in full. What does that mean? That means people seeing you and praising you for it, acknowledging you for it, that is your reward. You're not scoring any points with God. That's your reward. Saying that that's not what Christian gifts are all about. Often, we still have a tendency to elevate the gifts that are more vocal or are more visible. And that is a tragedy. And that is not what the body of Christ is about. The whole point of these passages is to say that this variety of gifts means that we need to respect each person and what they bring as an offering and bodily sacrifice, whatever that may be. We need to respect it. We need to appreciate it. We don't need to have anyone doing it to draw attention to themselves. We don't need to have anyone, and we certainly don't need to elevate those who are doing things that are more visible. In fact, God elevates the things that are done that are invisible, that even your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. God says that's where your Heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And so what we're talking about here is not just service projects. We're not just talking about service days, although these are important. We're talking about a servant lifestyle, as Scott spoke about a few weeks ago, the heart of a servant, where if you have been infected by the gospel of Christ, that it is flowing through you in service, because your Lord was a servant. And if you're following Him, that's what you're becoming. You are being conformed to who He is instead of being conformed to the world. You're being transformed to be like Him. some scriptural examples of this. You see this in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. We see a very key situation where we have a couple of these different gifts that have been given to people. The apostles say that there's a need that comes up among different people that are from a Gentile background but are in Jerusalem. They're from a Greek background, and these are widows in particular. And because of their ethnicity, because they would be seen as outsiders, too many times they are the last ones that even the Christians are looking to take care of, the Christians that are struggling with this. They're having to learn this. Because they're viewed as outsiders and because they're widows, they're really in need, but sometimes they're being overlooked. As the text tells us in Acts chapter 6, they're not getting their daily food. They should have been dependent on these Christians. There's not the same types of social programs going on in the Roman Empire that we may have today. The church itself was the social program for these widows who were in need of food, and yet they were being overlooked. And so the apostles say, here's what we need. We need to get more people involved in this. We need to get people who have a gift for being, who are willing to step in and use a gift to serve. The word service is there in that text. It's the same word, diakonos, that's used, or diakonia, that's used in several different forms in the New Testament for serving. And there it's specifically serving food to those who were being overlooked. And here's what the apostles say. They are not saying that they are above that task. They're not saying they're superior to that. They're saying that the variety of gifts are given so that each different ministry can continue to go on. The apostles need to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, which is the exact gift that we talked about last time, right? The gift, word ministry. Guess what we have in Acts chapter 6? We have a perfect example of how gifts that God has given to us are not meant to compete with one another. They're meant to complement each other. And they have to be present in order to support each other, in order to complement each other. The work of word ministry, of evangelism, does not get done unless it's accompanied by service. Service does not really have its full impact unless it's accompanied by word ministry. And we're not saying that these are mutually exclusive categories. There is overlap here. But we each have different ways that God has blessed us that we can contribute to these. So again, service is a broad category. I want you to think about a woman in Acts chapter 9. If you want to turn your pew Bible there, page 740, I want to read just a few verses about this woman who has the name Dorcas. And we have another name for her there named Tabitha, whichever one that you prefer there for her. But Acts chapter 9, I want to read some of this text to you. Listen to this description of this particular female Christian who is highlighted for her gifts of service. And not just, I say gifts of service, it's the exercise of her gifts of service is what we're really getting at today. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36, "Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died, and when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, 'Do not delay in coming to us.' So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them." Now, I'll let you read the rest of that text later. God's power is about to be shown in a big way in this text as Peter is able to allow God to use a gift through him to bring her back from the dead. But that's not our focus here in this passage today. I want us to look at the focus of the character. What is she known by? Why are people weeping over her? It's not just that she's a follower of Christ. It's not just that she's a member of a church here. It's because what's highlighted about her is how much she allowed the grace of God to flow through her in her gifts, using her gifts on behalf of others. You think about some of the things that the text highlights here. Look at this. It mentions deeds
of kindness and charity, and that she is abounding in these. She is full of these. She is overflowing in these. Later on, what are they showing to Peter? It gives us some concrete examples of this that are given of her good works, evidence of it, the garments that she is making for those in need. You may not see that as something very spiritual. It is very spiritual. Right? This is to the glory of God, making garments for those who are in need. The book of James talks about how if you see someone in need and you just say, be at peace, go on your way, God be with you, and you don't do anything for them, where's your faith? Your faith is not real. This is a woman who's not doing that. She's seeing someone who's in need of clothing, and she is investing the time and the materials, the gifts that God has blessed her with, to help someone. And you know what ultimately happens whenever you do that? You know what Jesus tells us in Matthew 25? He says that when you see someone in need and you take care of that need, that you're not only ministering to that person, you are ministering to Jesus. You are to see each person as if he or she is Jesus. And you are to offer that person the service that you would offer to Jesus himself. Jesus says, some are going to say, Lord, when did we see you in need? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you hungry or naked? When did we have opportunity? I didn't see you. He says, if you've seen the least of these, meaning the most needy people, no matter who they are, the outcasts, the children, the widows, whoever it may be, those who are in need, and you see a need and you have not served them, then you have not served me. You have failed to minister to me. You have failed to honor me. It's basically what Jesus says in a very serious passage in Matthew 25, a passage that talks about eternal ramifications for how we serve others in this life. It's a lot of what God's going to be asking on the Day of Judgment. Did you serve when you had opportunity to serve? It's a lot of what life is going to boil down to. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? As that passage speaks of, there is going to be a separation between the two. You don't want to be on the wrong side of that. But you see, what I see with Tabitha here, what I see with her is that these examples, these gifts that she is making are from the gifts that God has given her. What we see here is that she's receiving grace and then she's allowing the grace to flow through her. I love this song that I've just been introduced to recently. And I won't read it to you. It's in our songbook. It's called There Is a Sea. Our brother Stan Hammonds has led it a couple times on Sunday nights to try to teach it to us. Here's what I love about this song. This song sounds like some dry geography lesson. It's talking about two seas over in the Middle East. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Why do we have a song about that? Here's what the song means. It talks about a sea that receives water and then allows the water to flow out of it in the Jordan River. And then it talks about another sea who just receives water and allows it to sit there. It doesn't pass at all. That's the Dead Sea. What's the point of the song? The point of the song is, which sea are you? You're all receiving. The grace of God comes to us not just in the form of salvation, but in the form of these gifts that He is giving to you. Are you just going to sit on them? Are you just going to allow it to become a salty mess, Dead Sea? Are you going to allow them to flow through you? That's what we see in Tabitha. That's what we see with servants in the Scriptures. We are not a dormant volcano. We're an active flow. God is flowing through us. That is who we are to be as His people. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. You don't have to turn there. I've read this passage before, but listen to it, how it's related to this. It tells us this, as each one has received a special gift. This is otherwise gift passages. It says again, employ it or exercise it. Put it to use. Allow it to pass through you. How do you do that? In serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You've received, you're a steward of what you've received. As part of your stewardship, it means that you give when you see the needs. You become a servant. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who's speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the central goal of all that we do, is to bring glory to God. And then it says, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what that passage is telling us? That passage seems to be saying that service really defines what gifts are about. What all gifts are about. We're still going to be looking at other categories of gifts, but really they're all related back to service. You are providing, you are allowing God's grace to flow through you in a service to someone else, and in effect, ultimately serving God. That's what we're talking about when we talk about spiritual gifts. It's all about service. And so there's a variety of ways to do that. It's the gift that brings all the gifts together. It brings us back to that idea in Romans 12:1, present your body as a living sacrifice. How do you do that? Well, there are multiple ways to do that. The possibilities are there. When you contact someone who has visited with us with a word of encouragement, if you want to get more involved with that, talk to us about it. That's a service to that person. It's a service to the congregation as a whole. It's a service to God. Ultimately, that's something that is important. When you help set up tables or break down tables for a meal that we can share together, you are doing something, bodily service, investing some time. I know it's more time than anything else. Okay, I know these tables and chairs aren't heavy. It's your time is what's demanded, okay? And by the way, you know with a project like that, the more people that are there helping with it, the faster it goes. The more people we get involved in service. Service begets service. We encourage one another, and it becomes less of a load that one particular person or two particular people are carrying. We've got to move away from being the church, and I'm not accusing us of being this. I'm just saying that it happens in churches, where 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That's not who we are to be in the body of Christ. We are each servants, exercising the gifts of service. This is most important work. When you help arrange clothing or write an encouraging card to be delivered to a men's shelter, women's shelter, some of you are very involved with that right now and organizing and helping with that. That is service to people, it's service to the congregation, it's service to God, ultimately, because what you're doing is you are valuing those people who are the recipients of those gifts of clothing and of cards of encouragement. You're valuing those people as if those people are Jesus himself. That's exactly what Jesus asks us to do. Service is about, do you really value people? If you value them, you're willing to place yourself even beneath them to offer them that service, to humble yourself. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more when Scott gets up about some things that are coming up this summer. We got a Vacation Bible School coming up. We're going to need a lot of help with this. We're going to need a lot of service. There's a lot of service opportunity coming in. We've got a big group that's coming in that we've got to feed. We've got to provide meals for them. Guess what? They're going to be doing word ministry while they're here. They're going to be doing teaching. They're going to be exercising their gifts. We need to exercise our gifts of service in order to enable them to be able to use their gifts while they are here. This is how gifts complement one another. We have a lot of opportunities. We have work to do downstairs to get ready for that. Thank you so much for those who have poured hours of work into that already. This is important work. You're serving the children that are going to be involved in these classrooms. You're serving the teachers so that they can better teach. You are serving the community by giving them a place to come to and be able to learn the Word of God. You see, all these gifts are tied together. And I know the possibilities are so many. And some of you, I'm not attacking anyone today. That's not the goal of this. The goal is to thank you and to spur you on to continue to perform love and good works. When you update a bulletin board, that's an important service. You know, when you sweep the floor, that's an important service. When you prepare a baby shower or update the prayer list, these are important services. They thank you for this. We're grateful. Keep doing it. Do it to the glory of God. Possibilities go on and on. I want to close today by bringing you back to that scene in the upper room. John chapter 13. You don't have to turn there. This is the passage that really brings the idea of service together in the Bible. Besides the cross itself, This passage in John 13 where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. I want you to think about a few things about that scene as we close here. Number one, the text highlights that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Okay, it highlights that. He says that other times, but the text actually says, knowing that all authority had been given to him, he then took a towel and girded himself and washed feet. What does that tell us? That means the one person who should never have been serving anyone, everyone else should have been serving him, he's the one modeling what it means to be a servant. You know what else is going on in that room? There's 12 men in that room. One of those men was already in the process of betraying him, of turning him into the authorities. That was already in his heart. He'd already started that. He was going to complete it later that evening, that same night. And Jesus knows it. Guess what he does when he gets to his feet? He washes them anyway. Another man in that room says he was going to stand by Peter through anything. Jesus knows he was going to deny him, that he ever knew him, turn his back on him in his moment of need. Guess what Jesus does when he gets to his feet? He washes them. And you could go through different stories of each of those men, things that Jesus knew about their hearts in there. You don't just serve those who would serve you. You don't just love those who would love you. You don't just serve those who may be able to offer you something in return. That's not what service is. Service is sacrifice. Service is love unconditionally. Service is even for your enemies. Jim McGuigan wrote a book called The God of the Towel. Fantastic book, by the way. If you want to really get into the character of God through the Scriptures, very scriptural based. If you go through and you read that, why do you call it? He calls the book The God of the Towel because he says of all symbols of the character of God, of all images you could attach to who God is, McGuigan suggests that the towel, of all things, represents the character of God better than anything else. And what he's doing is bringing this passage from John 13 and making it alive for us. Because the towel that Jesus uses is the symbol of what it means to have the character of God, to have the heart of God. The towel, the sign of a servant. I brought two hand towels in with me today. Why don't you take a look at this one? This towel's been through a lot. It's been used. It has scrubbed a lot. You can think of it as this is the towel that, as tattered as it looks, as ugly as it may seem, as non-attractive as it may be, this towel has a history. You can think of it as this is a towel that has washed a lot of dirty feet. The evidence is there. Got another towel with me. Boy, this one's pretty, isn't it? Nice and white. No stains. No signs of unraveling. It hasn't been tattered. It's very attractive. But that's because it has never been used. Now, which towel do you think is Jesus' towel? The Bible tells us, if anything, his appearance was not attractive. He wasn't concerned about just keeping his body pristine and clean, staying out of the dirty work. This is what his towel was. The question today is, which towel is yours? Let's pray. Our God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your grace that has shared
with us, that you have poured these gifts into our lives. Father, we don't want to be like that sea that just takes in and never gives out. We pray that you would open up our floodgates to release this exercise of the gifts of service that you have given us. May we develop the talents that you've put in our lives. Father, may we not just wait until we have more time, wait until we feel more talented, wait until we see the perfect opportunity in our own eyes. Father, open our eyes to the needs of the moment. Open our eyes to see how we can be more involved. Open our eyes to contribute. Open our eyes to see the needs of people around us, to see the needs of this congregation, and to see the needs of our community, and to impact them to your glory through offering service. We know sometimes that it may mean that we get less sleep, that we get less rest, that we may have a sore back. It may mean that we get our hands dirty. It may mean that we're put in situations that are not as comfortable as we'd like to be. It may mean that we even have to work less hours with our vocations. Father, remind us of the towel that you would have each of us to have. Remind us of the work of Jesus. We pray all this in His name. Amen. Today, if you're struggling with the service that you're offering to God, the service that you're offering to others, you're struggling with a relationship with God in a way that we can pray about as a congregation, or in a way that you have questions of if you're in a right relationship with God, the Bible talks about coming to Him on His terms. And that is knowing that He has done the saving work. You can't do anything to save yourself. All you're doing is responding, accepting what He has done. You accept it in faith. You accept it in repenting of the life that you have lived, saying, I want to go in a new direction. You make a commitment to be His disciple. You make a confession that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're baptized into Him upon that confession. You rise in newness of life with Him. All that is just built on the faith of accepting what He has already done on your behalf. If you are in need of anything today, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.